Blog Talk Radio.
We are here to announce that we have arrived at a civil settlement with all of the families that were involved in this instance, as well as the Robert family who lost a son sometime actually before Katrina, in an effort to make sure that the people of the city of New Orleans know that we are going to change as a people and we are going to change as a city because we choose to. The most important words that we can speak to each other in times of trouble are, I am sorry, and I forgive you. And I want the people of the city of New Orleans to know and to understand that those are not easy words, but they are necessary if we are going to change who we are, as wonderful as our city is, from a city of violence into a city of peace. And as the book says, let it begin with me. And so the city is here.
Ladies and gentlemen, please sit back because you are now about to go behind the blue curtain.
Everybody, February 24th, welcome to Behind the Blue Curtain. I'm your host, Stan Mason. We're going to get into it today. You know, I'm welcoming myself back from last week. You know, we did the E&E Tour Seminar. You know, I'd like to give a shout out to Jackie Craig, Mark Hughes, Dr. Jay Hall, Nick Novello, Lindell Singleton. You know, we had a great event. A lot of knowledge was passed out there. You know, a lot of people missed out on some good points that they needed to hear about and see. But regardless, the show goes on. You know, we're going to talk to these hard issues, and we're going to continue to stay up in everybody's grill who's in a position to make decisions and refuses to make them. You know, on this show, this is not an anti-police show. This is not an anti-black, anti-white. This is a real show. This is where we keep it real. I'm not interested in whether you're Christian, Muslim, Jew, atheist, agnostic, black, white, Hispanic, gay, straight, liberal, conservative. It doesn't matter here. On here, this is where we come and have that hard dialogue, that hard talk. When everybody says, you know, well, you know, nobody wants to hear me. Well, you can come here and be heard. You know, we're heard all over the world. I've got followers in China. I've got followers in the Czech Republic. I've got followers over in the UK. So, you know, we're keeping it real. We're pushing out what we got here. And, you know, and looking at the current climate, I understand the school shooting thing is up front. Everybody's hyped up about that. Everybody's, you know, pushing on, and I support those kids and everything that they're doing, and I agree with them. Start voting folks out. As I so often say on this show, you want change, vote out the people who don't have your best interests at heart, and be that as it may. But for those that follow the show, if you remember 3 weeks ago, we did a radio show here that was called America's Silent Sacrifices in regards to the school shootings that we predicted and talked about. School shooting was going to happen, and they're going to keep happening until they get to the crux of the problem in regards to the school shootings. So if you guys want to call in and chime in on that, or voice, or vent, or whatever, that's not off the table. Like I said, this is the barbershop here. This is where you can call in and talk about things that are relevant to you. You know, I'm not so interested in staying on some script that I write and I put out. My script is a guideline. But what you guys say is important is important. So, you know, we're going to have to get in there and talk about all the topics, not just what I have on the table. It's not important to me that you agree with me. You can call up and vehemently disagree with me. I don't have a problem with that. You're going to get equal airtime. Unless you're stupid and just absolutely crazy and disrespectful, you're on for the whole show. I'm not cutting anybody off. You know, we're all in this together, and I need to learn from you. So that's what we're going to do. And you know, when I was in looking at a topic for today's show, I couldn't help but look at these civil judgments that are coming out in regards to police brutality, police misconduct, police behavior. And so I went in and started looking, and I knew some of them had really high judgments, but I went in and started looking at some of this stuff, and it was absolutely crazy. The amount of money that taxpayers, police officers are. So if you're a police officer listening, don't get all bent out of shape and he's not a real cop. He's against us and he shouldn't be saying this. You know what? This stuff is costing you. It's digging in your pocket like it is your neighbor next door. You know, taxpayers are constantly having to foot the bills for some of this misconduct that goes on. And in the process of footing that bill, some of these officers are still working. Or they're allowed to just retire and go away and collect their pension and let the taxpayers spend the next 4, 5, 6 budget years trying to recoup all this money, because they don't just write a check for $3 million and it's a done deal. The money might be transferred, but you got to make that money up somewhere. Cities have these things called budgets, and I don't think they budget in police misconduct. And in some of these bigger cities, they need to start budgeting it in, because some of these cities like Baltimore, they stay in the headlines. And so this is not to discredit, and nor is it to say that every officer in the city of Baltimore or any of these cities that I'm going to talk about is bad. These officers are street officers. Most of them aren't even in a position to make a decision outside of the fact that I need to go to work or stay home, and when I get there, do I write a ticket, not write a ticket, take somebody to jail or not take them? You know, this falls back on police administrations, and I would hazard a guess to say that in many of these cities that I'm going to read out, you've got a police chief overseeing a police department, and with some of the money that's been paid for police misconduct, if you ran a private business or you were the CEO of a business that had to pay out these amounts, I would say that you'd be out of a job, but that doesn't seem to apply. So I'm going to go over some of these real quick. You know, New York City recently settled a wrongful death lawsuit, and this is according to the blog, you know, .com, settled a wrongful death lawsuit with the family of Eric Garner, $5.9 million. $5.9 million. The initial suit was for $75 million. So $5.9 million for the city of New York. Unfortunately, large legal settlements against police officers and departments are not uncommon and occurring more with recent rising tensions between police departments and the public. According to the Wall Street Journal, the 10 U.S. cities with the largest police department paid out a total of $248.7 million in settlements and court judgments in 2014. That's not even counting all the ones past 2014. That represents almost 50% more than the $168.3 million paid out in 2010. Over that five-year period, those 10 departments paid out 102, y'all sit down for this, $1.02 billion in settlements over police misconduct. And they're stating that video played a big part in a lot of these cases for settlements. You know, Los Angeles. The Los Angeles Police Department mistakenly shot at two ladies delivering newspapers during a 2013 manhunt for Christopher Darnett. That was the officer who they had the big manhunt for and accused of killing someone. Around 100 bullets were fired at their truck, costing the city $4.2 million in settlement, or around $42,000 per bullet. $42,000 per bullet for a total of $4.2 million. Chicago may top all individual settlements with $22.5 million in settlements in the case of Christine Ellman, who was arrested during a bipolar episode at Midway Airport and then released without assistance at sundown in a high-crime neighborhood. Ellman was sexually assaulted and fell from a 7-story window, suffering permanent brain damage along with a multitude of physical injuries. At the same time, a $10.2 million settlement was reached with Alton Logan, who was wrongfully imprisoned for 26 years through misconduct by former police commander John Burge. Burge's abuse and suppression of evidence caused Chicago to pay around $60 million. Now, Lieutenant Burge. This was the guy that ran the torture chambers up there. If you guys Google Chicago torture chamber, Chicago PD torture chamber, you're going to find they ran a torture chamber downtown in Chicago. But this guy went to jail. I think he went to jail. I have to check back and make sure. But I think it was for perjury. But through all this mess, he was allowed to keep his pension. So guess what, taxpayers? You paid this guy while he was in jail. And on top of, you know, the $10 million or $60 million that he cost the city. You know, one guy. Boston officials settled for $4.5 million in the case of Rekia Boyd, who was killed when an off-duty officer shot blindly over his shoulder into a group of men. A second large settlement involved David Woodman, who was arrested during 2008 celebration of the Boston Celtics NBA championship and died in police custody. His family eventually settled for $3 million. Now, I haven't even gotten into L.A. yet and the other ones. Look at that amount of money and look at the cities that we're talking about right there. You know, Chicago, you know, Los Angeles, Boston. These are cities that can ill afford to throw money out the window. This is money that's gone away from getting your streets fixed. This is money that's gone away from providing homeless shelters. This is money that has gone away for police training. This is money that's gone away from enhancing your fire department with new equipment. This is money that's gone away for your Meals on Wheels programs. This is money that's gone away from your after-school programs. This money could have been used in so many other areas, but it's gone. It's gone because of misbehavior, misconduct, abuse, and brutality. Things that are outside of the norm of the police culture, of what we're trained and how we're supposed to treat people. Now, these settlements get reached, and everybody gets quiet. Where is the outrage from the taxpayers? Why are we having to pay this? I agree with the settlement. I don't have any problem with people suing municipalities when they're wrong and collecting. I don't have a problem with that at all. But I do have a problem when the people who caused these $3, $4, $5, $10 million settlements report to work the next day. Now, fair about it, and I understand cities oftentimes will settle things when the officer hasn't done anything wrong, but the optics won't look good for the city. So they say, well, let's settle this. I agree with that. And I think that officer, he or she, they did it the right way. They did it the way they're trained. That problem then with the settlement isn't with the officer. It's with the way that they train people to do the job. You know? So from there, you know, we have to put that blame on the city and the city structure. I just had a couple people tell me on Facebook that the Blog Talk phones are down, the 646-716-4621. If you guys want to chime in, just keep trying. I don't have no control over it. You know, I just kind of work with them and try to see what I can do, and hopefully you guys will be able to get in. Okay. I'm going to move to a sound clip from the Young Turks that kind of really sums up a lot of this mess that's going on in regards to some of these settlements and let you guys further understand where I'm
police misconduct from. Around the country is costing cities huge sums of money every single year, and the settlements are only getting bigger and more numerous as the years actually pass. So the LA Times had a great breakdown of some of the recent settlements here just in LA. The county's annual payouts because of misconduct have jumped from $5.6 million to nearly $51 million during just the last 5 years. A gigantic leap because of illegal acts taken by police. So that $51 million is a lot of money, and you might think, well, how can the police afford to pay that? Well, they can afford to pay that because they're not paying that. If you live in LA, if you're paying taxes, you're paying for that. Now, how does this actually break down? How do you get the $51 million? Well, $6 million went to a woman who had been raped by a sheriff's deputy during a traffic stop. $7 million resolved multiple lawsuits after deputies in West Hollywood mistakenly shot two hostages, killing one and seriously wounding the other. And then there's a variety of other settlements having to do with sexual assault, excessive force, shooting unarmed suspects, and wrongful imprisonment. Now, some of these things are going to happen in a city of this many police, this many people. Hostages do occasionally get shot. These are tense situations. But I believe you reported on that situation. Mm-hmm. They apparently went in guns blazing. They shot up the car with a couple of women thinking it was a suspect at some point. It's this sort of just crazy behavior, shooting before thinking, and having very little accountability that ends up costing the city $51 million in addition to all the lives lost.
Right. So I think oftentimes when we talk about the issue of better police training and police brutality, what happens is we will look at one very specific case. Mm-hmm. Of a specific person who was shot and killed, an unarmed individual, whether it's Walter Scott or Tamir Rice, we'll look at that case and exactly. We'll immediately judge the individual who was shot and killed. And so the conversation isn't really about a broader context and what we're seeing among police throughout the country. And the reality is, regardless of what you care about, let's say you don't care about these victims at all and you think that they're all so-called thugs and criminals and they all deserve to be shot and killed even if they were unarmed. Okay, we'll take that part out of it and focus on how this type of behavior personally affects you. This is your taxpayer money, okay? So when these cases need to be adjudicated, when these settlements need to be paid out, when these judgments are read and these police departments have to pay mm-hmm. whatever the judge decides is the proper amount that the victims deserve, that is your money. It is not the cops, right? And so I'm not going to sit here and say all these cops are terrible. And so, you know, no, that's not what I'm trying to say at all. What I'm trying to say is bad police behavior and a lack of effective training affects every single one of us, regardless yeah. of what our race is, regardless of what our socioeconomic status is. And that's why it's important that we hone in on this issue and find real solutions. If we see bad behavior and we know that that bad behavior is accurate, like it's reported accurately and we have evidence for it, there needs to be proper consequences and we need yeah. to train them better. There needs to be a little more hesitation before shots are fired. And right yeah. now it seems like there's no hesitation at all. I mean, a yeah. cop raped someone and the county had
yeah,
to pay
$6
million. $6 yeah. million, dollars, that's our money.
And that's
money.
Just one of the sexual assaults that were settled
yes.
in L.A. And so, as you point out, this affects everybody. It also affects every city, basically. This is not just an L.A. problem. So L.A. Times did a great job getting that information, but then I cast a wider net. I looked for evidence from around the country, and I found it. This is a growing problem. Let's see. New York City spent $228.5 million settling police misconduct lawsuits just in 2016. That works out to $27 for every single New Yorker. Washington, D.C. paid at least $31.6 million in court judgments or settlements since 2005. And the Chicago Sun-Times reported back in 2014 that the city had already paid out nearly $500 million in settlements over the past decade. That's not including 2015 and 2016. And I think you can think of some legal troubles with the police in Chicago in those years. So this is a problem that goes from big cities to small. The numbers for Baltimore were incredibly high. This is affecting your, if you're in a city, it's affecting your state if not. And there are ways we can deal with this. And if we reform the way that police are trained, we don't just get more justice on a daily basis. We don't just stop people from being killed unnecessarily. We can also save an incredible amount of money that can be reinvested into communities and can produce a lot of good over time.
The whole point of having police is to go after the bad guys, protect the good guys, not to have the cops act as the bad guys
exactly.
and then have us foot the bill as a result.
Exactly. Yeah, these numbers are just ridiculous, but there is something we can do about it. Unfortunately, we're unlikely to get any help at the federal level in the next few years. We know what Jeff Sessions is. We know what he represents. But it's still possible to change things at a local level, certainly at a state level, and you can ward off some of these unnecessary crimes and the settlements by doing that.
Now, I know that's going to a lot of departments and probably some officers that are listening or will listen later or will share this, but that's hard facts. You know, we're paying out more on police misconduct and brutality in this country in these settlements than we are for it seems like taking care of our citizens and our homeless and our veterans in a lot of our cities. You know, I mean, this is absolutely crazy. You know, Baltimore has spent more than $5.7 million on settlements and awards and another $5.8 million in legal fees. Lord knows, we don't even want to talk about Chicago. According to the Chicago Sun-Times, the city has paid out nearly $500 million in settlements over the past decade and spent $84.6 million in legal fees. You know, Los Angeles, $54 million. You know, New York Police Department, $735 million. Oakland, California, you know, in April, since 1990, they paid out $74 million in 417 lawsuits. That's more than $3 million per year. Denver, $10 million over 10 years. The Dallas Police Department, $6 million since 2011. Minneapolis, $21 million since 2003. Milwaukee, $17.5 million in legal settlements since 2015, forcing the city to borrow money to make the payouts amid an ever-tightening budget. The amount jumps to at least $21.4 million when interest is paid on the borrowing fees paid to outside attorneys and factored in. And that's according to the Journal Sentinel out of Milwaukee. New Orleans Police Department, according to the Ring of Fire, paid $13.3 million to families from Katrina. You know, the Philadelphia, you're not getting out of it, Philly. I'm an Eagles fan, but you're not getting out because you paid more than $40 million in police misconduct settlements in the last 5 years. You know, I mean, I haven't even gotten to L.A. yet. L.A., I ain't forgot about you. You're just a whole page. This is just incredible. And what's amazing in it is that a lot of these officers who were the byproduct while some were arrested, some of these officers are still out there working. Or they just said, well, you know what, I'm fed up. I'm going to hang it up, and I think I'm going to retire. I'm going to call in. I'm going to hang it up. So they go ahead and they retire. Well, as we do here so often, anybody can complain and throw a bunch of complaints up there. I'm going to offer a suggestion. And I don't know all the ins and outs of how it will affect the unions. And I'm not a financial wizard or a financial expert, but I do know right from wrong. So I'm just going to throw something out as a suggestion. I think that when officers' misconduct or civil rights violations cost cities $1, $2, $3, or $4 million, $500,000, $200,000, whatever, when that happens and that officer is either fired because of that incident or they're prosecuted, arrested, and charged because of that incident, that officer's retirement should be garnished to pay the citizens back a percentage to be decided by a judge in a civil proceeding. Much like suing someone, the city should be able to come back and say, we're taking 13% of your retirement to help offset the expense of the bonding process. Bonding is the insurance the cities take out on officers for situations such as this. But the taxpayers have been paying that down payment. And when the premiums rise, the taxpayers are paying that difference. You know, when you see your taxes rise and you're in one of these cities like New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Detroit, L.A., Miami, Houston, Dallas, Fort Worth, and you're seeing your taxes go up, how much of that is due to maybe incidents of police misconduct where large civil judgments are paid out, and that money has to be recouped somewhere? Insurance companies, you go out and have an accident, they're going to raise your rates. So I would assume the rates raise up when you have to constantly be making these large payments out. So if that is the case, you know, why aren't you hearing about that? Is that something that's out there where you can go do an open records and look at the city budget? Are you going to see where there's a bond increase? You know, the rates increased on the bond for particular officers. You know, let's look at some of this kind of stuff. You know, James Hill on Facebook, James says hit them for 50% of their salaries. You know, James, I think that I believe that when officers, and I'm certainly not speaking for all, I'm speaking very general, but when they feel like my misconduct, I've been there long enough, if they do this to me, I'll just say I'm retiring and walk out the door and be done with it. There's really no incentive other than the moral fabric that most of us have, but unfortunately a few don't, that cast a bad light on all of us. You know, if they can just walk away and taxpayers pay the bill and they still get their retirement, they don't care. These guys that are doing the abuse and the misconduct and the civil rights violations, they don't really care about that victim or that department or their fellow officers that they work with, which brings the question why I don't understand why more officers are not speaking out against these bad ones. Throw their ass under the bus. Light them up on social media. Some of these guys that have done some of the things they've done, you hear nothing from the blue community. It's quiet. It's almost like, but we're quick to jump on anybody else out here as a civilian or a citizen that commits a crime. We're right up front on them. We're ready to put them on full blast. But when it's somebody who embarrasses our profession, embarrasses all of us, we get local. Well, that's in Boston. It's got nothing to do with me. It has a lot to do with you. Because when you walk out with that uniform on, people are judging you by that guy. And when they ask you, what do you think about it? And you go, oh, nothing. Oh, I don't want to make a comment on it. But you comment about everything else regarding who got arrested for murder or this or that. So at some point, there's a disconnect. And therein lies when I oftentimes say the public comes back and says why they're distrustful of police. You know, exactly. James Hill on Facebook, I got my Facebook Live crew is on. He says the blue code of silence, which I call the blue wall of silence. Absolutely right. You know, these things need to be called out. Let the tax council people. You start telling the tax people the truth about why their taxes are going up if you live in one of these cities I talked about. You don't have the money to write these $3 and $4 million checks and move down the road. You got to recoup that. You got to rob Peter to pay Paul. Start telling the taxpayers, well, we got to raise your taxes because we got to pay the civil law. Just be honest with folks. Quit hiding. That's why folks are distrustful of politicians. That's why they're distrustful of police administrators, because nobody wants to just come straight forward. We want to just say the judgment was made and we'll move down the road. It's been paid for. You know, another one of the ones that was quiet that was down here in Texas, Sandra Bland.
Sandra Bland's family will receive almost $2 million from the county where she died in a Texas jail cell in 2015.
It was never just about Sandy. It was about all mothers who have lost their children unjustly to police brutality, to senseless gun violence. That's what it was about from the beginning.
The attorney representing her family told the Associated Press that the lawsuit will be eventually dismissed.
What it says is that you have to do your job. What it says is that when it comes down to looking after people in custody, there are real responsibilities associated with that. And what it says is that humane treatment, everybody is entitled to that.
But the lawyer representing Waller County says while they've reached an agreement, the Bland estate is violating a confidentiality agreement in the settlement. He did not respond to requests for an interview on camera.
I'm going to drag you out of here.
So you're going to drag me out of my own car?
Get out of the car!
And then you
I will light you up. Get out!
Wow.
Now!
And a black Chicago area woman died in the Waller County Jail after a contentious traffic stop with a Texas state trooper. It resulted in her arrest for a minor traffic violation. Authorities have said Bland killed herself 3 days after while still in jail. Her mother says that the lawsuit requires the jail to make changes, including having a 24-hour nurse or emergency medical technician on duty, and the installation of electronic sensors to ensure guards are checking on detainees.
Sandy is gone, okay? And so I can't help her with these changes. These changes won't help her, but they will certainly help the next female, the next male, the next individual that's stopped, the next individual that's jailed.
The settlement also asks Waller County's highest elected official to lobby the state to change jailing procedures. The trooper who originally arrested Bland was fired and still faces a misdemeanor perjury charge. The Department of Public Safety, his former employer, says it has not formally settled with Bland's family. Bland was 28 when she died. She was supposed to start a job at a nearby college. John Moan, Associated Press, Houston.
Okay, now we're going to talk about Los Angeles real quick, and I'm going to probably butcher some of these names, but you got, and Lord knows, I'm not even going to read through all of this. You guys, I'm not going to. I'm just going to read you. The whole top page is a million over in settlements. I'm going to go through some of them. Ajuria Zamora police civil rights violation settlement, May 1st, 2007. The case was closed February 9th, 2011, $12,860,000. Lashiko Arthur, traffic accident. Other settlement, April 7, 2004, it was filed. June 7, 2006, it was settled. $6,250,000. The estate of Devin Lee Petesky, traffic accident, failed to stop and yield. Settlement, filed July 14, 2010, settled February 14, 2011, $5 million. Robert Hill, police retaliation. It was a trial. This lawsuit went to trial on January 25th, 2007. Settlement was on June 23rd, 2010. $4,014,845. Richard Nagatashi, police retaliation, a settlement, filed November 8, 2001, settled March 24, 2004, $4 million. Angelo E. Goss, police civil rights violation, settlement, July 11, 2001, filed July 17, 2009, it was settled, $3,010,000. I mean, I'm not even going to keep – I could keep going down all of these. You guys, I mean, this is the Los Angeles Times. This is absolutely crazy. And I tried and tried and tried to find the disposition of some of the officers that are in these cases to find out, you know, why these guys are in there. They're not in there. Are they still working? Were they fired? Did they retire? What happened? And I was unable to. And you know, this is your taxpayer dollars. This is my money, your money, that is going out the window to pay these lawsuits, which I call blue Powerball or the blue lottery, the blue lottery. And I'm not knocking any of these people who filed the lawsuits. If you think you were done wrong unjustly, file the lawsuits and keep filing and stay with them and make these cities settle until you get some change. Because the only way that there's going to be effective change is till folks start feeling uncomfortable. When the budgets start getting hit, that's when the pressure comes down. But in the meantime, we wonder why we have these officers can't get trainings. The training budgets are worthless. Because somewhere down the line, we're going to recoup this money from somewhere. And like most cities probably will do, if the police department is the one that caused the civil lawsuit, that's where they're going to go first to look at their cuts. And when you start cutting from police departments, you're cutting from service. You can't hire as many people. You know, you don't have all these training classes available. You can't do the power program no more. You can't do the different little satellite community programs that you do. That money's got to come from somewhere. So at some point, when do we demand accountability? It's fine if the officer is arrested or the officer is fired or whatever the case may be, but did that person get arrested and still have their retirement? Are they fired and still have their retirement? What changes did the department make? And I'm going to tell you all, if you all sit back and wait on a police chief after one of these things to step up and say, in light of the recent lawsuit or the recent settlement, we in the police department have decided to better train our officers by providing this and this and this and this. You haven't seen it. You haven't seen it, and you're not going to see it. They're not going to come out until somebody puts some fire up on them and says, you need to step in front of the public and say how we can make sure this doesn't happen again. This stuff happens when citizens make complaints and get brushed off. And that officer that they're complaining on is unfounded. And they continue to go. And they may do the same thing to 5 or 10 people, maybe one complaint. And then we see it in a lot of these cases. By the time we get around to the settlement, you've got probably, 5, 10, 15, 20 complaints generally around the same topic on the same officer, and you look down in the records, you see unfounded, 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 unfounded. Now you have to start questioning if all these are unfounded, and then finally number 20 comes in, and it cost us $3 million. Don't just look at the officer. You need to look at the people that have been investigating the officer. You may have the good old boy system in place. Who's playing golf with who? Who hunts with who? Who's fishing with who? Who's over at the barbecue at whose pool? Sometimes you got that favoritism. We talked about it. It's in every police department. Don't let anybody tell you it's not. It's alive and well. The good old boy system, the favoritism system, the social promotion system, it is alive and well in police departments across this country. So if everything inside the department isn't fair and impartial, how can it be fair and impartial on the streets, which is proof that all these civil lawsuits and civil settlements that are coming up? You know, and this is not going to make a lot of people happy. I understand that this is a hard topic. I also know for you guys that have been trying to call in, for whatever reason, Blog Talk Radio's phone lines are down. So that's okay. I can carry this for a whole minute. You know, I got my Facebook Live crew on here. I can go with y'all's questions on here. But this is what needs to be said. I understand the school shooting is up front. I understand the school shooting is important. I understand that we got to do something about that. But we can no longer afford. I wonder, and I should have Googled it, and I didn't, but I should have Googled Flint, Michigan, to see how much money Flint, Michigan's paid out over the last 10 years in civil lawsuits that could have been put into that water system up there. I mean, we're electing these people, considering that they're going to be responsible. We don't check up on them. That's why they do what they do. It's just like your kids. If you leave your kids in a room alone and they know you're not going to check on them, they're going to do something that you don't want them to do. You know? G said that Blog Talk's trying to shut me down. Oh, man, I don't know about that, G. But, I mean, this is just a big issue. Now, if you notice, the topics that we talk about here particularly, you're not going to hear them on MSNBC, Fox, CNN, XM. Oh, they'll do 2 or 3 minutes on it. But they're not going to get all the way, just get down into it. You know, maybe that's because they can't find enough officers that will speak up about it. I don't know. There's some of us out here. There's a few. If you guys got a chance to check out Nick's clip, there's officers out here that will speak up if they're supported. But these civil judgments, this is out of control. There's no way I would live in the city of Dallas. Nothing against those of you that live up there. It's nothing against the officers up there, because God knows they don't make anything, and they drive junky cars. Their facilities are raggedy, and that's no disrespect on officers, and not the taxpayers. Folks are paying the taxes. Where's the money going? I'll send y'all to Nick's page. Y'all can check out Nick's link. I can say the same thing about Baltimore. Hell, there's so many abandoned neighborhoods in Baltimore. It ain't like you got to police a whole lot of places. Everything's shutting down. Folks trying to get out of there. Behind the systemic corruption, the good officers are down there are basically hostage to a lot of the corruption that we constantly see coming up. They've got to feel the hard questions from the citizens. At the same time, they got to go to work wondering if the person next to them is going to be in the next thing. This kind of stuff is crazy. You know, and people say, well, why do you speak on police reform? Why do you do all officers aren't bad? And no, all officers are not bad. They're not bad. But I will beg that I just got done reading all these statistics. Now, if policing was a few bad apples, like people say, if it was all about a few bad apples, then why are we paying billions of dollars nationally in settlements? If it's just a few, when a few people start costing you $1 billion, you need to start rewiring how we're doing things, reworking things. This is absolutely outrageous. You know, Robert says, do you know how many of these settlements were paired with a conviction? Most of the settlements, Robert, weren't. You know, I think they might have pressed charges separately, but a lot of the settlements weren't. There were a couple. I do know that in the Baltimore settlement, the officers went to jail. In the Milwaukee settlement, you know, there was a settlement done in Milwaukee, and the officers in the Milwaukee one went to jail, and I'm going to play that clip.
That breaking news, a record settlement for dozens of men who claim they were illegally strip searched by a group of Milwaukee police officers, led by this man, former officer Michael Vagnini. $5 million.
That's how much the city of Milwaukee will have to pay as part of the precedent-setting settlement. WISN 12 News' Nick Bohr is following this breaking story from our newsroom.
And Kathy and Joyce, the 74 Milwaukee men, all of them African-American, sued the city of Milwaukee claiming misconduct by the group of white officers. The strip search cases first came to light in 2012 when 4 Milwaukee police officers were charged criminally with illegal strip and body cavity searches of suspects. Lawyers for the men say they questioned 50 officers in depositions, including Chief Ed Flynn and former Chief Nan Hegarty. The 74 victims will share $2.7 million of the $5 million settlement, the rest of it going to their lawyers.
Suffice it to say, they've all experienced humiliation and other types of issues that have provided distrust to police officers. Some of them certainly went through and suffered physical injuries. This is a way to resolve it.
And a unique part of the settlement means before the men get their share of the payout, any outstanding child support or other unpaid fines will be deducted first. The Common Council and Mayor Baird have to sign off on the settlement before it becomes final. That's expected to happen by the end of January. Kathy?
And I agree. Get that child support from them and get them squared up with the city. But the fact of the matter is, did you catch in that? All 12 of the guys who filed the lawsuit were black. Now, this is not an indictment on the whole Milwaukee Police Department. But see, when we talk about cultural diversity training, when we talk about being transparent, when we talk about officers within departments being willing to sit down amongst each other and have conversations about race without getting your feelings hurt, see, when you don't do that, this is where it costs you on the wrong end. Forget the 12. Let's forget the 12 for a minute. What about the 200 that live around the 12? See, when you're fishing and the fish sees somebody bite that blue lure and get snatched up out the lake, the rest of them ain't biting that blue lure. And it's the same thing in a lot of communities. When you've got one officer that goes into a community and operates with impunity or victimizes people or brutalizes people for whatever reason he or she has, don't think that other people in the community are not watching. So you can say, well, he did this to one person. No, he did it to that whole community, because everybody watching, black or white, it doesn't matter. If they live in that community, they're living under the same socioeconomical boundaries and restrictions, they're now distrustful too. Because if you do it to him, you'll do it to me. So when you see these settlements and you say, well, we squared up with that one person, but you didn't square up with the 400 who followed this case, who now know that officer didn't pay anything, the city paid. And they go, well, you know what? He's still there. He or she has friends. That makes it difficult on the rest of the police department. So how do we fix it? What do we do? Got a suggestion, Chief. The next time you have something like this and you come out and you do your press conference and everybody behind you has got a bunch of mess up on their collar, gold stars and leaves and I'm in charge and the badges all over the uniform, why don't you just surround yourself with four or five of those street officers come to work in battle zones oftentimes, and all they got on their chest is their badge and their name tag. They don't wear their ribbons because they're doing real police work. It might get ripped off out there in the street fighting to help people. They don't have the creased iron starch uniforms because they can't afford to keep starching uniforms if they got to work in cesspools every night. Why don't you put those ladies and gentlemen behind you and, Chief, take a back seat sometime. Let the real men and women doing the real work talk about the real problem with real people. And stop going up there politicizing issues, politicizing people's nightmares, worrying about when you're speaking, is the media going to receive this well? Is the city council going to be offended if I say this? Oh, I don't want to be in the city manager's office. Let the city manager come out there to where your officers have to work. Let the city manager see the conditions your officers have to work up under. Quit putting perfume on a turd and trying to convince people that it's not a bad issue. It's a real world out there, and there is a disconnect between police administrators and line officers. Don't tell me you got an open-door policy. We hear that all the time. Oh, the chief's got an open-door policy, make an appointment. That ain't no open door. Do your officers really feel like they could come in? Guess what, chiefs? I'll tell you something. The patrol divisions, they got an open-door policy too. When they have their roll calls, that door's open. You can come down there and talk to them. But a lot of chiefs don't want to. I'm the chief. I make the decision. And then as soon as the neighborhood explodes, well, let's find some officers and throw them up under the bus. Ladies and gentlemen, as y'all know me, and you know, I do this on my money. I don't have no sponsors. I don't want the city to sponsor or sanction or approve or disapprove. This is my money. I don't have not one. I'm not interested in political sponsorship, Republican or Democrat. I don't want any type of a union or organizational, because we're going to keep it real on here. And at some time, everybody's going up under the bus, including me. So that's the way we keep it real. And I'm going to tell you this, police chiefs, you can hide in those offices all you want. You can go display gale manners and impress all these city officials. But if you're not visiting, those street officers. And ladies and gentlemen, the street officer is not your enemy. Yes, there's some bad ones out there. But by and large, these street officers are working under some hellish conditions that sometimes are worse than the neighborhoods with the internal politics, good old boy system, favoritism, hurt feelings, the individual kingdoms in police departments that are built, the good old boy system, the nepotism that is rampant in a lot of police departments. So we got a whole set of problems before we even hit the streets a lot of times. But we can't talk to the public about it because you're bringing discredit upon the city or the police department. They'll get mad, give you days off. Get to build some friendships with some of your officers in your neighborhood. You know who you can talk to, who you can't, and you know who you haven't talked to before. Meet them. Talk to them. Get to know them. And you watch and see in about a month or two, y'all have a little dialogue every day. You know, maybe it's hot. He comes by, man, here's a soda, here's a can of tea, whatever the case may be. And listen to the stuff that they're going to tell you that goes on. There's a whole gamut of mess in a lot of departments that officers have to put up with before they even get to the streets. You've got to please an administration. You've got to please a city council. You've got to please the mayor. You've got to please the rich folks who are privileged. You've got to please the special interest. You've got to now go out here and deal with a community that oftentimes is just saying, I don't need you to please me, just help me. And a lot of these officers say in their mind, I can't. Your issue. But I can't help you because the system won't let me. The system won't let me say what I need to say to help you. The system won't let me do what I need to do to help you. All because the system is designed to take the status quo and keep them up top and keep them safe. Those are your secure neighborhoods. We're going to cater first to the secure neighborhoods. In every ordinance, every decision, we're going to cater to them. Then you have your transitional neighborhoods. These are the neighborhoods that can go up or down, good or bad. They're out there. We can help them. We go in and we do some things, as much resources as we can put in. Then you have the lost neighborhood. That's the one that just, it's gone. That is going to take some work to do. Nobody wants to put that effort in. The officers can't tell you that. I guarantee you in every city, you've got the secure neighborhood, you've got your transitional neighborhood, you've got your lost zone. And we all know where the lost zone is. It's the one that looks like there's a blackout every night because the streetlights don't work. It's the ones that look like you're on a chisel trail because the streets aren't paved. Or people got to walk in the mud, or there's no sidewalks. You know, the bus doesn't stop there. The cable man, the ambulance won't even come in without a police escort. But you got folks living there. They didn't say, hey, God, drop me in the law zone. These people deserve to be heard. These people deserve for a change to be put up front. Because these are the people who ultimately you're paying these big settlements to. Because they're becoming educated. And they're learning that I don't have to be anybody's punching bag. I have some rights. I can walk down the street without being stopped. And if you stop me and you're not right, I'm going to light your ass up in the courtroom. That's the way it needs to be. If anybody's offended by profanity, I'm sorry. But like I said, this show is real. If the phone lines were down, y'all wouldn't have to listen to me. But since then, you know, I can't get anybody to call through because of Blog Talk. You know, I'm going to go a couple more minutes, but this is just real. It's just, with me, it's my passion. I care about people. A lot of officers out there care about people. A lot of them are frustrated because they can't say the things I can say or maybe do some of the things I can do. I don't know why I can do it, but I'm going to take advantage of it, and I'm going to do it. And if folks' feelings get hurt, black folks, white folks, organizations, politicians, I'm not saying I'm right, but I operate on what I believe to be right based upon my experiences and what I observe. And I'm not above calling anybody out. I'm not on the clock right now. I'm a citizen. And if I'm not happy with the way something's going, I don't care if it's the mayor, the city council, the police chief, or whoever. You got to hold people accountable, irregardless of their position or their title. Stop being afraid of people's titles. Stop letting people throw a comma with some letters behind it, and all of a sudden you feel like I'm a nobody. If you're living in one of these hellish neighborhoods with gunshots and gangbangers and abandoned cars and rats and roaches and no streets, and you're managing to get up every day and go to that minimum wage job and make your ends meet and deal with being stopped for no reason, and deal with being pulled over for no reason, and deal with the loud music and the prostitutes, you know what? You're stronger than these people living out in the gated community that want a car because the car passed by 2 hours ago and they could hear the music. Recognize your strengths. Band together. Start voting. Your vote counts just as much as that rich person does. And start voting out everybody that does not have your best interest at heart. Don't worry about your neighbor's best interest. Do you. Vote them out. Don't look at what color they are. Don't look to see if they got an R or a D next to their name. If they do not have your best interest at heart and are not effectively serving your community, get with some like-minded people. Go door-to-door campaign and vote them out. And if you can't find nobody better, like we hear, well, I didn't like Hillary, so I voted for Trump. If you can't find nobody better, you run for yourself. You might not win, but guess what? You're in the fight. We got to go with people who have some irons in the fire, who have something invested in the fight other than an election sign every 2 or 4 years, other than a title and a press conference, other than a feel-good Sunday service and a sermon that doesn't amount to nothing but a whole bunch of hot air blown out on issues that are affecting our communities every day in this country. In 25 years of midnight shifts, I can count on one hand the amount of preachers I come across. I know we all got things to do. Not everybody can be out there, and yeah, you work midnight, so you're out there. Guess what? When you want to find the homeless people that are the coldest, midnight. When you want to find the people out there that need help the most, midnight. That's when they're out there walking. Cities don't have resources at midnight. But it's okay, because the ordinances and the policies that we wrote, because we care so much, they look really good from 8 in the morning till 5. Oh, I don't understand why so-and-so couldn't get help. Oh, they got mental health problems. What's the big thing in the school shootings? The mental health problems. Who'd you dump the mental health issues on here in Texas? The police. Dr. Tenney could call in here, because I'll tell you all exactly what Dr. Tenney would say. She would say, don't call the police when people are having a mental crisis. Call the ambulance. Now, the ambulance is going to call us for their safety, and I agree we should be there. But when you dump the whole mental health thing on top of the police, along with everything else that's going on, we're not mental health specialists. Just because you sent me in an 8-hour class, I can't come out here and be Dr. Phil. But it looks good on paper. Well, I don't know why he did that. We sent him to this class. Having a mental health condition is not against the law. You have to have people in place, things in place. And I know some of y'all are going to look at this or share this or hear it later, and you're going to go, well, he's ridiculous. These programs cost money. Yeah, these programs do cost money. We just got done talking about all the money it's costing. I'm in a medium-sized town. I can't even begin to imagine Atlanta, Detroit, the things that officers have to see, and you expect them to come out year after year and function normally? And then the leadership says, well, I don't know why they have problems with that. You know, we're all officers, not they're officers, you're administrators. The worst thing that's going to happen to you is getting a paper walking back from the copier. And you got real officers out there doing real detectives going into bad areas, trying to close, dealing with families who don't have anything. That's the disconnect in policing. I'm not knocking administrators. I'm not a chief. I couldn't do it. Wouldn't want to be it. And I'm not saying I know everything police chiefs do, but I know when I don't see them. I know when you read about some of these incidents and the chief comes out to give a press conference and you can hear people in the audience go, who's that? Or when they think the public information officer is the police chief. Optics. Keep these people's feet to the fire. And like I said, Blog Talk Radio is acting funny, so we're going to go short today. But I want to appreciate all you guys for stopping in anyway and bearing through. This is on Facebook still, and I'm going to be on Blog Talk to find out why you guys couldn't call in. And you can go to stanmason.com. You can download this show. You can also see it on my Facebook. I'm working on getting a separate Facebook for Behind the Blue Curtain to kind of keep everything clean. For all you guys on Facebook that have supported me and tuned in, and the people overseas that have been listening in, I appreciate you guys. And we're going to try to keep this next level. And we're going to go back into these school shootings next week, but I'm going to dig up a unique twist because I don't want to do what everybody else is doing, you know. So, point, you guys, I appreciate y'all so much. And y'all, we got a short Saturday, but we managed to get an hour in. So I love you guys. Appreciate your support.
Ladies and gentlemen, please sit back because you are now about to go behind the blue curtain.